Good morning. Welcome. Let's pray together. Dear God, we love you and we praise you. We've come into this place to meet with you, to worship you, to magnify your name, to listen and hear your word, and to respond to your word, and to live lives, Lord, that you desire. I pray that you would strengthen us today. Help us, Lord, to be true worshipers and true followers and disciples of yours. Help us, Lord, to be encouragers of one another. I thank you for our church, and help us to do your work, Lord, in this community and this state and country and throughout the world, through missions, through prayer, and through giving. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, we've got two of our young people, young adults, that are coming to share with us about something very special that God's doing.
Good morning. My name is Hunter Taylor. I'm a freshman at Mississippi State.
I'm Annabelle Osley. I'm a senior at Gunnersville High School.
So we'll try not to take up too much of your time because we got an awesome church service for y'all today. But we'll just keep it pretty short with y'all. And so last year, there was an event called Worship on the Water. And what this was it a free event for the community that was put on by high schoolers and just kids like us who were just trying to make it to where all the kids who can't go to like the big conferences like Passion and Strength to Stand, they could come to this conference completely free. And so, Annabelle, can you tell them the verse of why we do this?
I'm going to read John 13, verse 14. It says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." This is our verse for the volunteers and the leaders. And it was picked because we're called to wash feet, and the act of washing feet serves as a picture of Jesus' ultimate mission, which is to serve humanity through his humble death on the cross, a death that washes us clean from all sin. And Jesus intends his demonstration of humility to serve as an example to his disciples and to everyone, and that's our goal at Worship on the Water, is to serve everyone humbly.
So yeah, last year's Worship on the Water was absolutely amazing, and we can't thank y'all enough for those who gave, either as individual or business, and it was just absolutely awesome. We expected, roughly, when we first thought, just a few youth groups from the surrounding area just to come, just to be a part, but we ended up having over 500 people there, which was absolutely amazing, as I said before. But I'm going to share a quick story with y'all, and it was about our very first donation towards this event, and my mom, she sent me a text at her work, and she said that we had had a donor who overheard a conversation where we were just letting some people know about Worship on the Water so that they could come to it. We will call her Miss Annie. She is a grandmother on a fixed income who has a grandson who is a teenager. Miss Annie reached out the next day and said all she could think about the rest of that day and all night was the event and her grandson. She didn't just want him to come. She wanted everyone to come. She wanted to make sure that the event was going to happen, so she donated $1,000 herself and asked to remain anonymous. This is an especially large donation for her, and when we asked her about it, she said that if one single life was touched, it'd be worth 100 times that, and she walked away smiling. And the cool thing is that our Sunday class that week was a study about giving without knowing, and her devotional that morning was not to ignore the little voices, but to listen to them. And this was before she gave, and this was before we had any speakers, worship, food, or even the venue. And so our theme verse for this event is based off Miss Annie, and it is Matthew 14, 25 through 29. It's about Jesus walking on water. Verse 25 says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus." That's a perfect representation of what Miss Annie did. She got out of the boat and she put her faith in the Lord. And then in Matthew 14, verse 33, once Jesus and Peter got back in the boat, "Everyone who was on the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" And so this year we have Connor Reese from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Northeast Alabama SCA. He's opening for us, and then we'll have Russia Fools for Worship, And then we're still on the bridge of who's going to be our main speaker. Jonathan Evans is the Dallas Cowboys chaplain, and he's a great speaker. He speaks at Passion and Strength of Saints. He's a big-time speaker. And then we also have Britton Bishop with Forge Ministries. And Forge Ministries was founded by Adrian Desprez, and he's a big-time speaker and just a great guy. And then we got Rush of Fools coming back again for worship. And so this year it's at the RSVP Center. It's right beside Freedom Marine over the bridge. And they have 500 chairs, and we're expecting to fill them up. And it will either be February 28th or 21st. And the reason it's not set in stone was because we've had issues with the contracts and the speakers and Rush of Fools being on the same page. And then just the guitarist for Rush is just, he's got to go somewhere. And then the speaker called about a week and a half ago saying, can we move it up? And so we're probably going to end up maybe changing it, but we're hoping it stays the same and that it all works out. But it's going to be the same layout as last year. We're going to provide food, water, worship, speaker completely free, but that can't happen without y'all. So we really need y'all's help this year. We're about halfway to our goal, and we just really need y'all's help. And if y'all are willing to give, we will humbly take it, because this is so, so big and so, so important for what we're trying to do, which is spread the word and create fishers of men. So thank y'all so much. And if y'all have any questions, you can contact Brother Joel or Brother Ken, and then they will get in contact with us. So thank y'all so much.
The Lord together by singing hymn number 408, How Firm a Foundation. And my gold to refine.
welcome. Glad you're here. Part of our 10:30 traditional worship. All of you that are guests today, we have on the far right-hand side of your bulletin, there is a QR code, and that QR code leads you to a guest card, and you can fill that out, and we would appreciate you doing that. Karen put together this card, and it's right in front of you, in front of the, in the card rack, and you'll find one of these new little cards. On one side, it is a visitor QR code, so all you got to do is just grab it and hit it with your phone, and it'll take you to that same visitor's card. And then on the other side of that card is one of the great doctrines and theologies of the Baptist Church, and that is, we will take your money. And we are happy to take it, and we'll make it as easy as possible to get your money. And this is real easy. So if you hit that, seriously, if you hit that with your QR code, it'll take you to our giving app. And so it's Karen put this together and put it out there, and so glad for her to be able to do that. This makes everything kind of easy. We're glad that you're here. Our time of worship, take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Good to have you today.
What love, what wonder of wonders, what love is this, that Christ would die for me? His goodness, His merit, His righteousness, the sinner's only plea. Oh, foolish pride, be crucified, the word is finished. All my boast is in Jesus. All my hope is His love, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done. Now fully forgiven, my life is filled with graces undeserved. For mercy that flowed, that sacred gift, let praises now return. Rise up, my soul, and bless the Lord, who else is worthy. All my boast is in Jesus, all my hope is His love, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done. All my boast is in Jesus, all is His love, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done.
Amen. You may be seated. As we sing our offertory hymn now is number 506, I'd Rather Have Jesus. We'll sing all three stanzas, and so what we'll do is remain seated until the last chorus, then we'll all stand together and sing the, prepare to receive the offering, I should say. Hymn number 506.
Than average.
Pray. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people in this church. Lord, we're so blessed to be here today, to be able to come to your house. Lord, we ask you today to be with those not with us today and those who are sick and ailing and those who have lost loved ones. We ask your special blessing on them. Lord, we ask you to help us be a blessing to others. We ask you for a lot of things, but we sometimes fail to ask you for that. But let us be a blessing to others, go out into the world and bring your word to them. Lord, we ask you to bless these tithes and offerings, use them as you would in your, to further your kingdom. In your Son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Open up my eyes and
Thank you, choir. I will build my life on your love and I will not be shaken. Boy, that is a powerful word. As we think about wisdom and humility, the wisdom and the humility that come from the gospel, the good news. Today we'll be looking primarily at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. That's the passage of scripture that we're going to read. But we'll also make mention of the rich fool in the New Testament. So we'll make mention of several passages of scripture. But the one that we'll read here in just a few minutes is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. So we've been talking about in these first four Sundays of the year, wisdom and humility. We live in a fallen world. That world has been fallen since Adam and Eve. It has always been that way. There's nothing new under the sun. It's not like all of a sudden we have this kind of attitude many times that, oh, it's just really bad. No, it's always been bad. Sinful, fallen human beings live sinful, fallen human lives. That's the way it's always been. And so right now, when we look, though, at our fallen world, we see war and division and anger and strife. Seems like more than normal. And so I just felt like the Lord was leading me at the first of this year to talk about then, how do we live with biblical wisdom? Because the world is anything but wise. The world that I live in is anything but filled with wisdom. And there certainly is no, the world's idea of humility has absolutely nothing to do with the biblical idea of humility. So in this war-torn, war-filled, anger, division world that we live in, how do you and I then navigate this world with real biblical wisdom and real biblical humility? So that's kind of where we're at with this series. And this is the last Sunday of this series. It was just real short, four Sundays of January. Now, one of the ways that Scripture teaches us about wisdom and humility is providing for us examples of foolishness. So, in the Old Testament, there are many times where God basically, through His Word, says, that's foolish. Don't live like that. Oftentimes in the New Testament, Jesus Himself says, that's foolish. Don't do that. Don't live that way. So the Bible gives us all of these great examples of foolishness. So for example, Proverbs 6, 6 through 11, Solomon gives us this great lesson in wisdom simply by using an illustration of the ant. Look at this simple, very clear illustration, Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince, they don't have a governor, they don't have a king, they don't have a ruler that makes them work. And even though they don't have that, on their own, they labor hard all summer long, gathering food for the winter. That is, they prepare for what's coming. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest? Why, picture somebody, the old farmer, sitting on the front porch of his house, just taking it easy, a little extra sleep, a little more slumber, folding hands while I just kind of take life in. Then poverty will pounce on you and it will be like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. So the idea, the illustration from King Solomon is real simple. Look at the ant kingdom. The ant doesn't have a ruler, doesn't have a king. Now, people in the ancient world that King Solomon was talking about, kings and rulers and governors, they made people work for them. His point is that the ant doesn't have that. The ant on his own works hard all summer long, preparing for what is coming in the winter. The fool, he says, just kind of, eh. Somebody will take care of me. Sounds a lot like the entitlement culture called America, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Another great example is the one leper that returned. 10 lepers were healed by Jesus. And one of those lepers realized, I've got to somehow find the man that did this. I've got to find him. I've got to give thanks. I've got to be gracious to the one who healed me. So that one leper ran back, found Jesus, and worshiped the one that had healed him. The other 9, they were owed that healing. Right? They were owed that healing. So why go back and thank the one that healed you in the first place? Because I learned to breathe when I was born, and because I learned to breathe when I was born, I'm owed everything. So I don't need to go back and have to thank the one who healed me. Sometimes the best way to see wisdom and humility is through the lens of foolishness. Accordingly, a wise believer pays attention to the fools described in Scripture. Today, we're going to examine 3 types of fool. Fool number 1, and this is the most egregious and deadly form of foolishness defined by Psalm 143, verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Those who deny the existence of God are, according to Scriptures, the ultimate fools. What could be more foolish than for the creation to deny the Creator? What could be more foolish than the creation itself saying no to the Creator? You didn't do this. I have done this. Nothing could be more foolish. Anthony Salvago says, the opening of Psalm 14 gives us the heavenly perspective on the nature of humanity. It speaks not only of the heart of the atheist, but ultimately of all of us. We are all born with hearts that declare that there is no God, because we're all born in sin. In the Hebrew mind, the heart was not the muscle that pumps blood through the circulatory system. Instead, it represented the very seat of human understanding. We moderns tend to divide the mind and heart, but this was not so with the ancient Hebrews. To say in one's heart that there is no God is to say with one's entire emotional, psychological, and rational faculties that there is no God. Paul teaches us that we are all born with hearts that say there is no God. In other words, we're all born fools. As we appropriately critique our culture, let me say that again, because nobody critiques our culture more than the one who's preaching. I do that just about every single Sunday. This word stings for me. As we appropriately critique our culture, let us not forget that we too are born fools, but by the grace of the Father. A second type of fool that we encounter in Scripture is the fool who despises the gifts of God. The entitlement fool. What I call the entitlement babies of a culture that feels entitled to everything. The entitlement fools is the second type of fool. It's described in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting the Son of God. They themselves are nailing Him to the cross once again and are holding Him up to public shame. So this type of fool is, the first type of fool is the one who claims to be the atheist. There is no God. And you will not find the atheist in and around the visible church. I wouldn't go to church for nothing in the world. Maybe if it's a funeral of somebody that they really love, they'll slip in the back. But they don't want to have anything to do with the church. This past week, I was having a conversation with a man, and he found out before we got together that he was going to be doing whatever it is that he was doing for me, and he found out that I was the pastor of First Baptist Church of Guntersville, Alabama. And so he's the second kind of fool. I ain't going to church. You know why I ain't going to church? Because everybody there is a bunch of hypocrites, and I don't want to be around those bunch of hypocrites. And I looked at him, I said, boy, you couldn't be more right. Come to First Baptist Church and you cannot swing a dead cat and not hit a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, they're everywhere. They're in every pew. We're everywhere. We're all over the church. He couldn't be more right. Bunch of hypocrites. That fool is the type of fool that is a part to some degree of the visible church, but has decided, even though they have been enlightened by the church or by the truth, they have chosen in their heart to reject that truth, and the consequences of that foolishness are extreme. That's foolish. Third type of fool is encountered in Scripture is the fool that disregards God. The second type of fool is in and around the church. The third type of fool also is found in the visible church. They profess belief in God, but through their actions, through their mindset, through the way that they live, God's irrelevant. You know? I go to Sunday school, man. I listen to the preacher. But as far as life is concerned, God's just kind of irrelevant. The classic example of this fool is found in Jesus' parable of the rich farmer. On the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I preached on that great parable. And you know the parable. This rich farmer, he's got it all. I mean, he's got everything. He is the wealthiest of the wealthy. He has got this humongous farm, and this farm is plentiful. And so... this farm produces so much crop that his barns are not big enough to hold the crops. And so he's thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to make this happen? And so he wisely decides, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tear down all of my old barns, and then I'm going to build bigger barns to house all of this crop. Oh, what a great idea. And then when all of that is done, and I've got all of this huge crop in all of these huge, brand new, beautiful barns, I will sit back, and then I will be able to say, eat, drink, and be merry. How great is that? Got it all. What more could a man want in this life than to have it all? Jesus goes on in that parable, and Jesus then looks at this guy, and what does Jesus call him? Fool. Jesus looks at this guy and he says, you fool, you're going to die tonight, and what will you have to show for these huge barns filled with all of this crop? You're wealthy in the things of this world. Your problem is that you're poor in the things of God. Now, we got to talking about this Tuesday at staff meeting, didn't we, Ken and Karen? We got to talking about this sermon. And we got to talking about the fact that, now wait, there's a lot of conflict here. We're bouncing all over each other. We've got in Proverbs chapter 6, we've got King Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit saying, act like the ant, work hard in the summer, build for the winter. And it's not just about summer and winter. It's about working hard now, preparing for what is to come. There's nothing wrong. It's wise for us to be prepared for what is coming. And then we jump right over to the New Testament, and we've got Jesus telling this parable about a guy who did exactly what Proverbs 6 said to do. He was preparing for winter. Boy, it seems like a lot of conflict. Until you see the end of the parable. Jesus would tell us, as we learned in that sermon back on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, the problem had nothing to do with the barns. The problem had nothing to do with the crop. The problem had nothing to do with storing in the barns. The problem had nothing to do being prepared for that which was coming in the winter. That had nothing to do with the problem. The problem with, no matter if you're poverty stricken and you don't have a dime to your name, or if you've got $50 million sitting in the bank, that doesn't matter. The problem is, are you rich in your relationship to God the Father through Christ Jesus our Lord? Do you know the gospel? Do you know the good news? Does the light of Jesus shine in your life? That's the issue when it comes to Proverbs 6 and when it comes to the parable of the farmer. I told the staff, I said, I think I've got a story that might be helpful here. So I told them this story, and I told it to the early worship. One of my old friends, he's actually the guy that led me to Jesus. This friend of mine and I had done a lot of bad things together. And this friend led me to Christ. And we've been friends for a long time. When Ben and Janice and I moved to Plant City, Florida, and it was just the three of us, Ben calls that back in the good old days before Davis and Carson came around. So the three of us moved to Plant City, Florida. And my friend and his wife didn't have any children. They moved to Newport Richey, Florida. It was about an hour away. And we got to be really close with our friends. They moved off to Memphis, and we moved here, and we kind of lost touch. And we'd talk every now and then, but not anything close. And then they moved back to Birmingham, and I started seeing my friend more and more. And we've gotten really back into our relationship. And we talk to each other on the phone a lot. He called me the other day. He said, Joel, I've been watching videos of this guy. And off the top of my head, I can't even think of his name. Now, anytime I said Wednesday night at our Bible study, anytime somebody from our church comes up to me and says, hey, I've been watching these videos, I bristle. Because typically the name that they come up with, I'm like, don't listen to her. Don't listen to him. She's nuts. He's crazy. No, he doesn't preach the gospel. He's tickling your ears. Stop it. So when my friend said, I've been listening to this guy, I kind of bristled. But then his name came out. He said, his name is Steve Brown. And I said, oh, I know Dr. Brown personally. He said, really? I said, yes. In my doctoral work, I had Steve Brown twice. And after I graduated, I flew back down to Orlando and took him for a third time. I audited a class under him because he's one of my all-time favorites. I love Steve Brown. He's the guy that really put me on this path of the radical grace of God in Christ Jesus. You can thank Steve Brown that you have to listen to the gospel every single Sunday. He's one of the guys that led me to that. I said, I love him. That kind of put me back on a path of looking up some of those old videos. So I watched one. And Dr. Brown was talking about many different things in this video. But then he kind of stopped and he got up out of his chair. And he walked to the edge of the stage, and basically this is what he said. He said, I've got a lot of money. He said, you know, when I first felt the Lord calling me to ministry, I might as well, in my mind at the time, been taking a vow of poverty. Because I knew I wasn't going to ever have money. I was going to be broke the rest of my life. And he said, for the most part, that's true. Pastoring and being a seminary professor, I didn't make any money. He said, don't get me wrong. I had enough to pay the mortgage and take my wife out to dinner, but I didn't have any money. And he said, but God blessed me with the ability to write and speak. I didn't ask for it. It's just one of those gifts that God gave me. And I've written a lot of books, and those books have sold a lot of copies. I got a lot of money. And he said, I still don't understand it. I don't get it. But people all over the world fly me to all of these places to speak as if I have something wise to say. And I go everywhere. I fly all of the time, all over the world. And they pay me a lot of money to do this. He said, I got a lot of money. And he said, I would say, and he looks out at this crowd of people, this humongous crowd of people that are sitting there. He said, I would say to all of you, to us, that have money. And at that point, at staff meeting, Ken interjected. And he said, by the way, that's all of us. Because in comparison to the world, we are all very wealthy. He's right. So this word is not just to the ones that we think have a lot of money in here. This is to all of us. He said, so I would say to all of us who have money, here's my word. Be very, very, very careful. Be very careful that that money does not own you. Be very careful that you do not worship the gift rather than the one who gave the gift, God Himself. Be very careful that you are not wealthy in the things of this world, but you are poor in your relationship to God the Father. That is to say, be very careful, rich farmer. Be very careful that you do not invest your entire life in the things of this world, and then one night you're going to die. And the Lord is going to say, and what do you have to show for it? Be very, very careful. The fool, let's end wisdom and humility. The fool, because he or she is a sinner, gets really caught up, too caught up in the things of this world. And those things become his or her God. The wise, humble person says, it's all a gift from you, God. It's yours. I live for you and you alone. Now I'm going to close, and I lied to you last Sunday. I did not lie to you knowingly. At the time when I lied to you, I didn't do it at the time knowingly. In my mind, I really thought I was telling you the truth. And what I said to you was, I'm going to read my conclusion one more time. Three Sundays in this wisdom humility series, for some strange, odd reason, I have read my conclusion, which I've never done in 30 years of preaching, 30 plus years of preaching. I've never done that. I've never felt this incredible need to read the conclusion. And for some strange, odd reason, it's God that is odd and strange. It's not me. It certainly can't be me. But for some strange, odd reason, I have just felt like I need to read my conclusion. And so I said to you last Sunday, I promise I will not do that again, as if any of you actually care one way or the other. But I promise I won't do that again. Well, I lied. I'm going to do it again. I promise, though, I will not do it next Sunday. Scripture presents us with many examples of foolishness, including the fool who denies God, the fool who despises God, and the fool who disregards God. These examples are provided not to drive us into despair, but to draw us toward wisdom and truth and humility. Yes. God provides us with examples of foolishness because He is a loving Father who desires His children to pursue the wisdom that leads to abundant life. So, church, on this first month of 2024, be wise. Reject the fool. And embrace the wisdom of God found only in Jesus. I've quoted this verse every Sunday of this Wisdom and Humility series. Paul says that Jesus is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and I add, humility. The fool lives for the world. The wise, humble, finds love in Jesus. Father, thank you for a great word. Thank you for the wisdom of King Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the wisdom of Jesus in that rich farmer. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom of the one leper that came back to thank Jesus. Thank you for wisdom and humility that you provide for us through the power of the Holy Spirit in your word. Thank you for examples of fools that we can easily see and realize that's, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be just rich in the things of this world. I want to be rich in my relationship to God the Father. And whatever I have, $10 or $50 million, nothing is more important than my relationship with the Father. So thank you, Father, for showing us wisdom and humility on this last Sunday of January. May we live it according to your truth. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation hymn is I Surrender All. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you to do that. If you need to come, join our church, pray here at the altar, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you just simply be obedient to that and follow through. Do that as we stand, as we sing. Before we go, remember baby bottles, we have them out here, we have them in front of the library, we have them in a basket in coming in the fellowship hall door. So grab your baby bottle. We would like for these to be returned in 2 weeks from today, filled with whatever you want to fill it with as far as money is concerned. Great mission and ministry for our baby bottles, but grab one of those and take them home, fill it up with coins or dollars or a check or whatever you want it to do. All right, what do we got first, Will? We got women's Bible study, not this Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday night. It will be led by Morgan Odell in the P27 Sunday School classroom, 6 p.m. And it's a study, 10 Great Women of the Scripture by Max Lucado. That's going to be absolutely fabulous. Morgan and I were talking about it this morning after early worship, and she said it is really, really, really good. And anything he does is really, really, really good. All right, next. Valentine luncheon with our senior adults, February the 14th, 11 a.m. Sign up on the Old Lord's Supper table, some mature adults. What a fun luncheon that is. Great food, great fellowship. So make sure you sign up to be a part of that. All right, our prayer event of four in 3 weeks from tonight, February the 18th, 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Ken is going to lead us in that first prayer event. And then we will have three other ones during the year, but we'll give you more details later. Just put it on your calendar. Make sure you want to be here and be a part of where two or more are gathered. All right? Ken?
Yeah, I'm excited about this opportunity. We've had handbells since before I came here, and now we have a director. And so I'll be introducing you to her in the weeks ahead, but just want to give you a shout out about the handbell choir. If you're interested in playing in the handbell choir, you can see me or call Karen at the church office. Let us know. We're going to have a informational kind of all the people that are interested get together, and we'll select the time of the rehearsals and all that. But they'll be playing at events like our Carols by Candlelight service and throughout the year, maybe accompanying the choir from time to time. And so, and maybe do some things at local nursing homes or retirement centers and things like that. So it's a great opportunity. I've been praying about having this for a long time, and the Lord has given us a great director, and so we're going to take advantage of that.
All right. Is that, there we go. All right, let's all stand and close by singing, "All My Boast Is in Jesus."
All my boast is in Jesus, all my hope is His love, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done. All my boast is in Jesus.